All right, let's go. Okay, Cindy, I know you got a question for me, and I know Tim's got a question for me of sports. Go ahead.
As usual, mine is a topic around the world that everyone's talking about. What was your take on the slap that was heard around the world on Chris Rock?
Chris Rock. That's a good name, Chris Rock.
You like
is that?
That
his real name?
Yeah. You know what? Will Smith was lucky it wasn't the other Rock that we know. So let me ask you, do you think he would have hit him if it wasn't?
That's a good question.
Let's say, you know, The Rock.
You know,
Dwayne
Rock.
Johnson, that great
big
guy.
Yeah, I know the big guy.
Think he would have gone up there if the other Rock was there?
Yeah, I think he would have.
Really? Yep. You don't think that would have been a deterrent?
No. I really believe that Will Smith is the kind of guy he is, and he felt that he was insulting his wife, and I like it.
Gotta love it. Do you think he should have been kicked out of the arena?
No, he's doing that for the press. I mean, let's face it.
Everybody's covering their ass now. Oh, we should.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
The press is left wing. I mean, all you have to do is watch watch TV. And all the press is left.
And let's face it, Dad, all he had to do was say he's sorry. There's only one person I know in the world these days that gets crucified in the press or does something wrong and doesn't say they're sorry, and that was you. You're the only person that stuck by what they said. And just look at it. Well, it just seems today, even with raising little kids, no matter what you do, all you have to do is say you're sorry, and then everything is wiped cleaned. I don't believe that. I don't believe in you. That's why I respected you so much, where you didn't backpedal.
You know what he should have done, though? Like, looking at Will Smith, he shouldn't have swore. If he just would have said, shut up and don't talk about my wife.
Yeah, that was bad when he swore.
Then I think the people would be less. But he swore twice.
Yeah.
He just said,
well, that shows that he was really upset.
Well, you could see he was.
No, he really wasn't upset. Because if you see, he laughed at Chris Rock's joke. And then the wife gave him the look. Then he goes, I guess I shouldn't have laughed.
Well, he didn't.
He laughed originally.
But you could see when he was swearing, he had that look in his eye like he was mad.
Oh, he was mad. And there was no doubt about it. You make fun of a guy's wife, disease, and even if the guy didn't know it.
Yeah, he said.
I know a guy that has that disease, I guess it's called.
Yeah,
I know a lot of dogs that have it. The dogs that I groom, there's a lot of dogs that get that.
Well, you have the story where it was kind of the other way around, that you were at a bar after a game and one of your teammates got into a fight.
Oh, jeez. Well,
you got into a fight and you had just pulled Cindy's tooth out with a... So tell that story.
First of all, yes, I did take a pliers and I did pull her tooth, but it was hanging by a little bit of.
So how old were you, Cindy?
I was probably 3 or 4, and I remember. No, you did it more than once, because when you used to say, you know how you like when you're a little kid and you play with a tooth when it's loose, and you'd always say, is that tooth loose, Cindy? And no, it isn't. No, go get the pliers. And you had little tiny pliers.
They were like little needle nose pliers.
Yeah, and they even left the blood on the pliers too. Oh, stayed and all this. And
sounds terrible.
No, well, it toughened me up.
Well, this
it toughened
this
me up. It toughened me up. So I look back at it and I go, "Yep, I was." And you open your mouth and you pulled it out. So I guess you were at
only hanging by a little. What do you? I hate to say it. A little
piece of thread.
Thread.
Yeah, but it still bled.
Okay, so anyway, you pulled Cindy's tooth out.
And
so
you were telling the story.
And naturally, your mother had to tell everybody. We went to Downtowner afterwards.
That's right.
We used to go to the Downtowner afterwards. We were sitting in the bar and sitting in a corner. I remember where she was sitting and everything. And Dick Gamble had a fight and he didn't win. We'd just say he didn't win. And he didn't know how to fight. So... his wife Ethel was beautiful wife too. She was, and she was really giving it to me, like really, you know. I don't mind getting it once, but after a while, it gets a little
about
sick.
My tooth.
Yeah, about your tooth.
I'm sure Mom played it up.
Oh yeah.
No, she kind of added a little stuff there. I thought it was terrible. So I said to her, too bad your husband's father didn't teach him a little toughness too. He might have won the fight. She was coming after me with her claws.
And her purse.
Well, with her claws was the thing, and she was, you couldn't believe
it. How could you not stop laughing at that one, I imagine?
I didn't know what to do. And then I started to laugh. Because
I probably got her more upset the more you were laughing.
Well, if she had got across the table, she would have dug her nails into me.
And her husband did nothing.
He didn't do nothing. He just sat there. Well, what is he going to do to me?
Well, that's true.
Anyhow, that's the story.
So anyway,
how do we get into that?
Well, we're just talking about slap, and then you kind of, same situation, you made fun of a guy, and then his wife stood up for him.
Holy, did she ever, boy. I never forgot that. But no, I believe I kind of like the guy walking up slapping the guy. And of course, he's wiping the floor with himself now.
Yeah, as usual.
That's what I said to my wife. I says, he shouldn't apologize. He just should have said that joke was totally off base. My wife has a medical condition. You can't make a joke about a medical condition. And left it at that.
No, but he wanted to be back. He's getting expelled from all of...
He'll be back.
He has enough FU money, as you always say. You know.
You asked me a question, and I told you I admire the guy going up slapping the guy. You know, Tim, I'd like to talk about the stuff that went on in the National Hockey League. It just kind of caught my eye.
Okay.
All right. You don't mind that? Montreal won last night, and they better be careful. They're going to lose their number one draft choices.
Right. This is Sunday morning, so last night they beat Tampa. And Tampa needed that win. Tampa's in a dogfight.
Well, that old story, Dad, what we were talking about last week, about when you have no skin in the game, there you go.
Well,
right?
I don't know what it is. It might be that coach. They're doing a pretty good job. Mini won last night.
You picked them.
Fleury got outshot 38-19 and still won the game. So they're paying off. Now, you know, the Selke Award, they're talking about Matthews. Now, I like Matthews. I've said to you, Tim, I said I like Matthews, and I said I didn't think he'd score 50 and that kind, but I like him. I've never seen a guy... How a guy from Arizona can fire the puck the way he fires the puck, and he does a great job. But I remember when Mr. Selke put that award up, it was for guys like Gainey who never scored many goals. And he said, this is for the guys that don't score many goals that do the checking. Selke Award was for...
And now it's kind of become like if you don't get the MVP, they give you the Selke.
Yeah.
You know, which is ridiculous. But you know what that is, though, Dad? Why? Because reporters don't know. You know what I mean? They just know to look at the stat.
Keith Yandel sat out the game last night. He was the Iron Man. And the reason they sat him out was because they wanted to play the young guys. And I don't know whether he volunteered. Sounded like he volunteered to sit out. Anyhow, the second guy now, the most active player in the National Hockey League is Phil Kessel. Certainly doesn't sound like an
Iron Man. Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know whether you saw McDavid get that overtime goal. I think it was Saturday night. Friday night. Friday night. Boy, oh boy. And Dreisaitl put him right. I don't know how he made the pass. Beautiful pass. Just enough. And he just had it was going fast enough and in the right spot for a tip in. Boy, two great guys. And McDavid got 100 points again. Here's one that caught my eye. The Pittsburgh Penguins beat Detroit 11-2, and they got outshot in two periods. I mean, that's hard to believe.
So you're saying goaltending's the problem?
Well, I don't know what the problem is. Yzerman better do something. Well, Tim, Tanner Jeanette had a Gordie Howe hat trick. Cindy, you know what a Gordie Howe hat trick is?
It's a goal, assist, and a fight.
That's it.
Does it have to be in one period or all the whole game?
No, you know, it's funny you say that, is that Gordie Howe had it in the first period. What was the first period?
First period, yep.
But that isn't one of the requisites.
That's not the rule. A true Gordie Howe hat trick. If you're going true, you have to do it in the first period.
Oh, please.
Oh, that's tough.
That's a tough one.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca. They're Canadian-owned online sportsbook and casino. And if you sign up today and use the promo GRAPES, they'll match your deposit up to $500.
Holy, there's an awful lot of them, Tim.
Yeah, I know. And you get 10 spins on the big wheel. And if you get three of your jackets, you win big money. And your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25.
Now, I'd like to ask you a question. You know, all these big ones that are coming in, I'm not going to mention them, but the big ones coming in on TV and all that.
Yeah.
Can you do any more on them than you can on spread?
No, it's exactly the same.
So the odds are all the same.
Odds are all the same. Everything's the same.
Why wouldn't you want to bet a Canadian?
Well, that's it. Why don't you want to do a Canadian-owned?
And Canadian money.
So is it whoever has the nicest commercial on TV? Like what makes people go to different sites?
I don't know. But you know, like when I go out and buy ice cream, I try to buy Chapman's. It's Canadian, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
right. I buy E.D. Smith.
Did I ever tell you about the story about Chapman's?
Oh, that's a funny story.
I buy Chapman's all the time. And what was that? Chocolate cherry. It used to be.
Yes.
Yeah. And the chocolate kept getting lighter and lighter and lighter. And I phoned them.
Wasn't it too they decreased the amount of cherries in it?
No. It was cherries is okay. It was the chocolate was getting, it wasn't as dark as it usually is. I phoned them. And by gall, in about a month, the chocolate was right back to dark again.
Is that right?
Yeah, Chapman, yeah.
Yeah, I love
it. I don't know how we
cream.
Got into Chapman's anyhow.
Yeah, but like
Canadian.
Anything you can do on the one that Gretzky does or the other one, you can do on spreads. Like on spreads, if you want to bet on the table tennis in Indonesia that's playing tomorrow, you can bet on it.
Yeah.
You can bet the games live. There's all the prospect bets. And then on the casino games are exactly the same.
See, I always thought that one they gave different odds, and that's what determines people to go somewhere.
No, all the odds are the same.
Well, I support Canada, as you know.
We support Canadians. But, Dad, here's a funny thing. Last night I was looking on the internet. 11 coaches' contracts are up this year in the NHL. And one
11?
Of the, 11. And one of the rumors that was on this website was that Bruce Boudreau might be going out of Vancouver.
You know, when he took over, what, they went 8 straight?
Yeah, they're like probably at the bottom of the league right now if he didn't make it. I mean,
so his contract is up. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
And what is it?
So what it said was that at the end of this year, he can walk away, or if Vancouver lets him go, that they got to give him a lump sum.
That's a good
deal. Sounds pretty good.
It's a good deal. Good agent.
I remember when I got it. Now, let's see how it worked with me. The story was that I could stay as long as I didn't get along with the press.
You didn't get along as well with the press.
Well, or whatever it was, I couldn't get along.
Well, I think what you, I remember you talking, Harry wanted you, there was a thing that you were with the players and Harry was with the management.
Yeah.
And he said, you're a coach, you got to be with the management.
Yeah, you're a coach, that's your management. And it was... You know, I often think of that, and I should have been smarter and gone to a better club. But things worked out pretty good. I went to Colorado, and we won. We beat Pittsburgh 5-0. What was it, Tim? Something like that. We beat them 5-0. And as I went off the ice, honest to God, Cindy, this is the truth. The players, you know how in the old movies they have players, the guys stand with their swords, the soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
They had all their sticks. Honest to God.
Isn't that something?
That was my last coach.
You kind of went to Colorado with the idea that you were going to build a team.
The biggest mistake I made, and remember they're asking me, gee, what a mistake I made. I really did make the mistake. They asked if I could get along with Ray Miron.
And Mom asked you that, and your brother, Uncle Rich, asked you that.
Yeah, what are you, nuts?
Because I think Uncle Rich played with Miron, or played for Miron or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, well, he played for him, and I played for him. Yeah. But I thought, you know, he'd go along with me.
Well, you
remember that infamous book that he showed you when we were over at dinner his place?
All I know about hockey.
And his players gave it to him for a Christmas gift, and it was everything I know about hockey. He showed it to us, and it was all blank inside, and he thought it was hilarious. And we were going, uh-oh.
And right away, and remember, Tim, we're getting off the subject, but remember, Tim, the very first game we played? We played in Oklahoma Springs or something like that. Colorado Springs. And I said, well, I kept looking at you at the end of the match. Holy, this team, and they're all like little boys. They were just terrible.
The two things I remember was you came back after first practice, and you said, well, Timmy says, we either have the greatest goal scorers in the history of the National Hockey League or we're in trouble in goal. And unfortunately, we didn't have the greatest. And then you did the team pictures.
Oh, that was funny.
And Mom looked at it. She says, oh, what a bunch of nice young-looking boys.
What a sweet look. God, and I just left the Boston Bruins who looked like all thugs.
And I said,
you're absolutely right. I said, I'm in it for a tough time. But you know what? At the end, we had a pretty good club.
You did.
Yeah, and if he just had, you know, and then I found out why we didn't get Dougie Favelle.
Well, because you needed a goalie, because Hardy, well, you had, what was the goal? McKenzie was doing well.
Billy McKenzie.
We started winning. I think we tied Montreal. We beat Boston, and then
Quebec.
He went into Boston and beat Boston.
Yeah,
beat
on
Boston.
The road. I mean, that was really something.
And then John Wensing fell into him and wrecked his leg.
God is my judge. I remember John losing his step and falling into Billy McKenzie, and that was the end of for me.
And so, that was you teaching him how to stand in front of the net.
I don't know. No, that.
So then you are asking for Dougie Favelle, who was in Colorado.
They call him the Mountain Green or something.
And he was a good. He was a good goalie. Played in the NHL.
He'd be better than Hardy, and he wanted to play. And I found out about 2 years later what happened was he threw Miron out of the dressing room.
So that was it.
And I couldn't figure out why he hated him so much, why Miron hated him so much. Well, I know you people will be very excited. I know everybody's excited.
You people?
You
people.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, yep. You said it, Dad. What do you mean, you people?
Is that what I said, eh?
Yep. See, it was nothing. You said it. You just say it all the time. This is what I kept saying to people. He calls Tim and I you people.
Mom did. Mom said it more than you did.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Well, anyhow, it doesn't matter. I know you people.
There you go.
Leafs, by the way, I have to admit that things that happened this week, Leafs are leading the league, the NHL, on 11 shorthanded goals, which is pretty good. I just thought I'd throw that in.
So, Dad, I want to ask you a question. This week was... The Panthers, who are kind of in a dog, like they're trying to keep in first place, they played Ottawa one night and then they played Toronto the next. And their coach put their number one goalie in Buffalo and won, and then put the backup goalie in Toronto and they lost. And the same thing happened with the Jets, who needed the win, right? They played Buffalo, who's, you know, out of the playoffs. They put Hellebuck in, and then... And they won in a shootout. And then the next night they played in Toronto, they put the backup goalie in.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm happy about Toronto.
When I was watching, I go, well, why wouldn't you play your best goalie against the best team?
Well, Tim, I'll tell you. I grabbed the 2 points that I could grab. Make sure, if I was playing in a lower team, I'd grab the 2 points. And then I'd hope, you know, if we played Toronto, which Toronto's going pretty good. Or going good, I would play them, hoping the guy would, my backup would come up with a good goal, and the players played a little harder when the backup was in.
Yeah. So your philosophy is grab the two sure points.
Sure points. Well, we had 116 points 1 year.
Yeah. So your thing is, and then hope for the best.
For the best.
So the players really step it up when the backup goalie is in.
Now they feel a little sorry for him, and
Well, that just makes Jilly Joubert's record of 17 consecutive wins, which still stands today, unbelievable. Because he wasn't getting Cleveland; that was Jerry.
He was getting the tough ones, and if we played 3 games in a row, he'd get the 3rd game all the time, and the players knew it, and they used to pick it up when he played. I used to see them.
He mustn't have liked you very much.
He didn't.
So is that why you sort of punished him a bit to put him in, or was it strategic?
No, I would have done the same thing to any coach or any goaltender I had.
Yeah, yeah.
But he knew it. He went to the finals the year before with the Boston Bruins, and all of a sudden, I come in, and
he was your number one goalie for the first year.
Yeah,
and then Ross Brooks was the backup, and then Cheevers came, and Ross Brooks moved.
You know
on.
What? I'm going to go in. I'm going to look for Ross Brooks' record. It's unbelievable. But anyhow, you're absolutely right. Gilly got all the hard games, and he still set a record with 17 wins.
So your philosophy as a coach is make sure you get the 2 points you're supposed to get, and then you'll go from there.
Don't fool around. Don't fool around. Get those 2 points.
So, Dad, the other thing that happens in the NHL that a lot of people are talking about is Jay Beagle got into a fight with Troy Terry of the Ducks, who's a goal scorer. It was his first fight ever, and really gave it to him. And
I saw it.
He cut him up pretty bad. And what'd you think of that whole situation?
The trouble is, when you get into scrums, you don't know who you're going to grab. But
Well, I think the one thing that was going on was afterwards was Timo Solani, who put out a tweet.
Yeah.
And his tweet was, "Don't like how these young Duck stars are getting pushed around. We need a couple of Ty Domies here now. Joke is over."
Well, they got rid of their tough guys, did?
Right. They got rid of Manson and DeLaurier.
I knew you were going to talk to me about this, so I wrote a few things down. The reason, now somebody had stepped in there in that fight, he would have got a 2, 5, and a 10. Now, if you get a couple of those and 2, 5, and a 10, I mean, it sounds unbelievable that you stepped in to help the...
Because when you're watching it, it's like, why wouldn't one of the Ducks jump in there?
Because he would have got a 2-5
and
a 10.
Well, it was 5-0. There was 4 minutes left in the game.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about too many of the Ducks now that they got rid of the tough guys stepping in there.
Yeah, who is going to step in?
Because they said, we don't want that happen to us. So I wrote two things down. And this was, this was before... I forget. Gil Stein, I think it was the guy that put this.
Gil Stein was the guy that put the instigator rule in.
Instigator rule. And the rule, and this kills me. They put it in because he didn't want the tough guys picking on the stars. Now, Gretzky had Semenko and McSorley. Bossy had Nystrom and Gillis. Leach, they had a whole bunch of guys, but we'll say Schultz.
Yeah.
Yzerman had the Bruce brothers, Probert and Kosher. If you even looked at sideways at them, there was an excuse for them. Hall, I could go on and on. Hall had Chase and Tony Twist. I could go on and on and on. The reason that they scored so many goals was because they were protected. The stars were protected back in those days. Now, and now they're not protected at all. E.g., if you want Crosby and Lemieux, and they were never protected. And you saw Matthews, but if you wanted Matthews doing ragdoll, nobody stepped in to help him.
Poor McDavid, he constantly gets.
Oh, and McDavid, nobody steps in to help him. If Semenko and them had been there, he would have never been tripped as many times as being tripped. What I'm saying is, Solani was right. Where is Ty Domi?
So, Dad, did you ever get into a everybody kind of said, look, Beagle was really beating him up, and he's had 10 fights over his career, and Troy Terry's never had a fight. Like, did you ever get into a fight with a guy, and you're going, oh, this guy doesn't, you know, this isn't going to be fair?
You know what, I'll tell you. Terry Harper reminds me. They called him later Terrible, Terrible Terry Harper, something like that. He learned to fight. He learned to fight. There's an art. There's an art into it. Anyhow, I remember I was playing for Kitchener, and he was playing for Ottawa Hall, and he was just a young kid. He was only 19 or 20, and I saw. And so he hit me in a corner. I don't know what I was doing and behind their net. Anyhow, one of us was wrong. Anyhow, he goes, because he was the defenseman. And I hit him a couple of times, and I could see he couldn't fight. And, you know, he was a good kid. He later on, and he played a long time in the National Hockey League. So I stopped. There's no way, no way. And, you know, the players on my club saw that I stopped hitting him when I saw I couldn't fight. You know, he should have saw. Somebody would have stepped in there if they had any guts at all and stopped getting that kid getting beat up.
Well, Dad, I was so sad to hear Mr. Melnick passed away.
Eugene,
yeah. Yeah, I was, you know what? He sure liked you.
Well, I think he liked me was because the hypocrisy, isn't that a word? I've learned that
word. Yeah, that's a good word, Dad.
I had to really, hypocrisy of the left-wing media is unbelievable. And Ottawa, especially Ottawa, all he did was give him heck the whole time he was there. And
which is sort of like, I don't get it. Like, they only had a team because of him, constantly losing money, and he stayed, and yet he still was, you know, criticized him.
It was down by, I remember the interview he had. Well, there was about six reporters around him, and what he said was, he's so right, and I said it in Hockey Night in Canada, if the fans aren't going to come out, why stay there? And boy, did he get reamed for that one.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, kind of knocking Ottawa a little bit here, but remember, they were in the semifinals, game six. If they win, they're in the finals. They're playing Pittsburgh with Crosby.
Crosby.
And they didn't sell out.
So you're, you know, I really don't, and maybe I'm stepping out of the line here, but I really don't believe that Ottawa is a hockey city or... Yeah.
And you know, Melnick, like... You know, you and I have talked about it. He's kind of like Jerry Jones in a way, where he's the face of the franchise, yeah. Whereas the Leafs are kind of a faceless corporation.
Remember, they had signs,
and the media just would go after him.
Yeah, and remember, they had signs. Remember, he had a picture of a sign.
He called me. I'll tell you, he called me when you got fired from Sportsnet, whatever you call it. And he's really a great guy. We talked like 30, 40 minutes. We fed off of each other, and I was interesting.
A great guy.
And what I want to say about Mr. Melnick is that he was criticized by a lot of people, and even it was in the paper, about that he jumped the queue when he got his liver transplant. And I know for a fact, because, you know, I'm heavily into kidney, you know, and organ
transplants,
donation. Yeah, organ donation in Canada. And I have a friend that she had a kidney transplant, and she had a doctor of his. And I just want to say he didn't jump the queue like he was accused of.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was, you know, oh, you know, he paid for his liver transplant. And he really, afterwards, it was very successful. And he was very into promoting organ transplant in Canada, because you know how dismal Canada is for organ transplant. So I just want to say to all the people that question it or say that he did not jump the queue, he played...
By the rules.
He played by the rules, and it was a success.
I should tell you the story. I'll tell you one story that I thought was funny. Well, I don't. He phoned me up, and he was talking to me. He said, "Who do you want? Who? Long time ago. Who do you want to trade? Do you want to trade Redden, or who would you trade, Redden or Chara?" I said, "What is this, a joke?" And he said, "No." He says, "We're, you know." So I think the powers to be. They chose Redden.
Well, you said, what are you, nuts?
He said, you're nuts?
What are you, nuts? He said, Chara's going to be a force for 10 years. Well.
And what he is, he's 20 years.
Yeah, he's still going.
But anyhow, you know, it's a funny thing. This Christmas, I got, I said, who is this from? And my wife said, it's from Eugene Melnick. We took that candle when we found out that he had died, and we lit that candle.